Writers, the Winter Blueprint Challenge 2026 is on, and I can't wait to do it, and I can't wait to tell you about it. Okay, so this time around, we're going to have two ways to play. First, we'll run the blueprint for supporters. 10 weeks of blueprint assignments, live events, and encouragement starting January 12, 2026. Or, and this is the big news, apply to join our very first blueprint cohort. 10 of you will become a small group that receives direct feedback from me and from Jenny on flap copy and the 3-page inside outline, and joins 5 group-only live sessions, and becomes a part of a members-only community dedicated to helping you create a blueprint that leads you to the book you want to start and finish. Applications to join this group open December 15th, 2025, and will be evaluated on a first-come, first-serve basis. Once we have 10 people, we're going to close down the application, so get yours in early. Early bird pricing for the small cohort is $1,000 until December 22nd. After that, the price goes up to $1,200 if there are even spaces left by then. I am so excited about this, so get your application in early. The regular blueprint will run for supporters at the usual supporter pricing, but this other cohort is going to be really special. Details on how and where to apply are in the show notes, or they're going to be pretty prominently displayed at amwritingpodcast.com.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone, try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause. I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Hey everyone, it's Jenny Nash, and this is the Hashtag Am Writing Podcast, the place where we help you play big in your writing life, love the process, and finish what matters. Today, I want to talk about why most writers approach revision the wrong way and how to use the blueprint to do it right. Most people think revision starts with reading the whole manuscript, but the truth is, I think that's the last thing you should do. Before we dive into why I think that and what I think you should do instead, I want to talk a little bit about what I call the revision mindset. When you finish a manuscript, it's really tempting to think, okay, I've got it, I did it, I'll just polish it up a little and be done. But real revision requires openness, being open to seeing the strengths and the weaknesses and the changes that you need to make in the manuscript to take it from good to great. This can feel really vulnerable. I know for me at this point, I worry that changing one thing is going to break everything else. You feel so close to the finish line that you don't want to touch anything. But holding that tightly, that kind of clenching, is exactly what stops the revision process from working. It's important to remember that revising is big picture work. It's not line editing. Revising is stepping back, seeing what's really on the page, and being willing to reshape it. So a revision mindset is, again, that openness and that willingness to look at it and to be real about what's there and what you want it to be, and to be willing to do what it takes to get it there. So a good revision is going to start with that mindset. And if we start there, you can begin to see why doing a full manuscript read through from page one, marching straight through all the way to the end, is going to lead to trouble. And there are two particular things that happen if you approach revision in that way. The first problem is when you go to read the book from page one chronologically all the way through. Maybe you wrote it that way, maybe you didn't write it that way, but in any case, if that's how you approach revision, what tends to happen is that you fall into line editing instead of big picture thinking. You begin to think, oh, this line is really great, or maybe I should fix that line, or maybe the flow here is a little off from this line to the other. You stay in the weeds and you lose sight of structure and purpose and the big arc of your story or argument. The second problem with starting revision with a full manuscript read is when you ask somebody else to do that reading for you. Basically, what you're doing is handing over your power to somebody else. You're saying, you look at this, tell me what you think, tell me how to fix it, tell me what's wrong. And the problem with that is the tendency to get feedback and then just do everything they ask without thinking strategically through what you want to do or what you want your revision to accomplish. And a corollary of that problem is that usually when people are doing that full manuscript read for you, they're just dumping all this stuff on you. They're giving you this long litany of things that they see in the manuscript or things that they think you should fix. And that list might include small things and big things and important things and not important things. And it's so easy to just get overwhelmed with the process. As a book coach, that's what I see all the time. People get into revision, they get overwhelmed, they freeze up, they don't know what to do first. It's so easy to feel defeated. And that's the moment when so many writers stall out and shelve the project. They put it in a folder on their desktop, the proverbial drawer, and it's just away and they're done and they can't face it. And then the idea of going back to that huge amount of work and trying to figure it out becomes too daunting and they just don't. So I don't recommend starting your revision with a full manuscript read. I have a different approach that I teach book coaches at Author Accelerator, and it's called the 3D revision process. It has three parts. The first is a process of inquiry. We use the blueprint to ask key questions about the project. The second step is mapping everything out using the outline at the end of the blueprint in a specific way. And the third step is strategizing. We look at that outline and we prioritize what changes need to be made using the stoplight strategy. I'm going to explain all these things in a minute, but the point is that this process gives you clarity, confidence, and a specific actionable plan for approaching your revision, which is the dream. Okay, so let's walk through it. Step one is this process of inquiry and using the blueprint to walk us through that. In an earlier episode, which I'll link to in the show notes, I talked about why I created the blueprint and why I refer to it as a process of inquiry rather than a story structure method. The process of inquiry allows the writer to look at the foundational aspects of what they're writing and to look at the work from this big picture angle that usually they skip. There are 14 questions, no matter which genre you're working on. But they all start with these really basic questions, like, why are you writing this book? What's your point? Who's your reader? And what do they want? And are you giving it to them? Using the blueprint to start a project and answering these questions before you begin is a really powerful way to think about what you want to do in the book and a powerful way to get your vision clear. But when you have a finished manuscript and you go back to these questions, it's a whole different ballgame. It's almost like a test. Can you answer these questions clearly and confidently based on what you know is there? Have you, in other words, put on the page the vision that you had in your head? So you go through the 14 questions, honestly answering them based on what you actually have. And it becomes this kind of assessment or challenge or test. Like, did I do what I wanted to accomplish? And it's really easy in those 14 questions to see if you didn't. If you can't confidently answer one of the questions, you know that that's pointing toward a potential weakness in the book. If I give the 14 blueprint questions to somebody who has written a manuscript that they love and that is close to the vision that they had for it, they're able to knock those questions out and answer them with such authority and power. And it's just an amazing thing to see. And when they can't, and they're coming to the questions with that openness I talked about before, then it's like, okay, look, we still don't have this piece nailed down. We still have to figure out this part of the story or the argument that you're making. So it becomes a first pass at what is really there and what strengths and weaknesses are on the page. The second step in the 3D revision process is to map out what you have. And we do this with the outline that is at the end of each of the blueprints. If you've gone through the previous questions in the blueprint, you're looking at those foundational aspects, the structural elements of the story, all the things that hold up what you've written. And then the outline is, okay, here's what I've actually written. If you're at the start of a project, you want that outline to be no more than 3 pages. I'm very strict about this, and there's a reason for that. It's because we need to contain or constrain the creative process so that we can see what it is you're wanting to make or to build. If someone goes on and on at that stage of the writing process, they're not making good decisions and they're not thinking about the big picture. But when you keep it to 3 pages, you're forced to do that. And it's a really awesome process. With revision, I loosen those rules. And the reason is that for revision, I want this outline to be what I call an as-is outline. So this is not what you intend to write or what you hope to write or what you plan to write, which is what it is at the beginning of a project. Now it's what is actually there. So the as-is outline is capturing what you actually wrote, not what you intended to write. So you use the manuscript, obviously, to get this information and to pin down an outline of what is actually there. And there's still a constraint. I suggest that you keep this as-is outline to about 10 pages, and you absolutely need to follow the rules of the genre that I outline in the blueprint. Each of the genres has a specific outline and a specific thing that we're looking for in that outline, and I designed that to solve for the things that people most often get wrong in that genre. I wrote a Substack post, which I'll link to in the show notes, which explains what each of those things are, and I'll link to that in the show notes. But you want to follow the rules of the outline so that you make sure you're not making the foundational problems of that genre. But then you have these 10 pages to capture what you've actually done on the page. And this as-is outline is where the big insights happen. When you step back and you look at this as-is outline, you can see where the momentum drops, where scenes or chapters repeat themselves, where your structure might be broken, where a subplot might take over, or in nonfiction, where you veer off in some other direction. You can see where 2 memoir scenes are doing the same emotional work, or where a nonfiction chapter doesn't drive towards the outcome that you're leading your reader to. You can see so much in this outline. And that's why this process is so powerful. The outline becomes a kind of x-ray of what you've actually written on the page. And that leads us to step 3 of the 3D revision process, which is you're going to analyze that outline. You're going to bring some strategic thinking to what you have there. Each of the blueprints has a checklist for their particular outline, and you want to go through those checklists and really ask yourself, have I done this? Have I done that? Have I done the other? You need to be able to see that in your as-is outline. The kinds of questions that checklist asks are things like, am I giving the reader what they want and expect? Does my outline include the essential elements of my genre or category? What's missing? What's out of order? What's unclear? What's unnecessary? So it's strategic thinking about the material that you have created. One of my favorite books about the creative process is Creativity, Inc. by Ed Catmull. It's the story of the creation of Pixar, the company. And in that book, he talks about the Brain Trust, which is a very small group of writers who help each other to create the best possible stories. And they have this process in the Brain Trust that's called giving good notes. And good notes are clear, they're factual, they're strategic. And that's what you're doing here for yourself. You're giving yourself good notes. And if at this point you want to bring in a trusted partner to help you brainstorm and to help you look at your material and look at your notes and help you brainstorm solutions, this is a great time to bring in somebody to help you brainstorm and to look at your as-is outline and look at the notes that you've made for yourself. Because instead of just handing the job over to somebody else, you're saying, I have done this work of looking at my work in a strategic way. I know what I've done well. I know what my weaknesses are. And now I'm ready to solve those problems. So a great critique partner or a trusted beta reader or a book coach, obviously, are great people to bring in at this stage of the process. And what's awesome is you're not asking them to sit down and spend 15 or 20 hours reading a whole manuscript and trying to figure out what you want or what you were trying to do or how it all lands for them and giving you this info dump of information. You're asking them to look at your blueprint, to look at your answers to the 14 questions and your as-is outline and your analysis of that outline. And what you'll be doing either on your own or in partnership is prioritizing what needs to happen in the revision. The tool that I teach coaches to do this is called the stoplight strategy. And what we're doing is we're trying to categorize the problems that we see in a manuscript by their severity. So red light problems are major structural issues. Yellow light problems are medium level issues. And green light problems are line level edits. I designed the stoplight strategy because so many writers think that revision is about green light issues. So many of them start with line level edits. And as I spoke about before, the tendency, if you're doing a full manuscript read, is to fall into that rhythm of just seeing the green light things or maybe a few yellow light things. But it's very hard to see the red light things, which are the things that are going to bring your book down. They're the fatal flaws. And most writers never find the time to actually look at those things. So they might be things like, I've got to start this novel in a totally different place, or I have to chop off 5 chapters of my memoir, or I have to restructure my entire nonfiction argument in a different way to make it land. But if you've approached the process that I'm explaining with that openness, that revision mindset, and that curiosity about how can I make this better, and if you've gone through it in this systematic way and you've found some red light issues, they tend not to sting quite so much. They tend to feel manageable. Okay, I can fix this one big thing. And if I fix this one big thing, the next thing that I need to fix is probably going to be obvious. And then the next one's going to be obvious. So you're leading yourself to a prioritization of what needs to happen in the revision, rather than looking at everything in the same way. Meaning every little green light issue has the same weight as the yellow light issues and the same weight as the red light issues. When we step out of doing the work chronologically and we approach it in this more strategic way, we tend to focus on the red light issues. And again, they just tend not to feel quite so awful. So the next step in the process is you take that as is outline and you turn it into a what's next outline. A map of what the book is going to become in revision. On that outline, you mark what gets cut, what gets moved, what needs to be added, what shifts are you going to make because of the big changes. And you actually make them in the outline so that the outline reflects where you're going with your revision. And that's how we close the gap between what you've written and what you want to write. That's where you get closer to your vision of what you want this book to be. And that's why this process is so powerful, because now you have a clear map of what you need to do in revision. You have a clear plan for how you're going to go execute those things. So you're not guessing and you're not lost in overwhelm. You have this next step outline that you're going to go in and follow. And if you want to start at the beginning and make all the revisions in chronological order, you can. Or if you want to go in and fix the big red light issues first, you can. And you can use this next step outline as a kind of external hard drive to hold all the changes that you want to make in your revision so that you're not holding them all in your head and you don't have this big giant list of things that you have to do. You have the changes mapped to what you have on the page. Doing the revision in this way might actually mean going in and working on, let's say, chapter 10, 11, and 12 and not touching anything else. It might mean going in and working on chapters 13 and 27 and not touching anything else. It's not necessarily a chronological process. You're going to follow the next step outline and do what needs to be done in the manuscript. And once you do that, now is the time when a full manuscript read can make a lot of sense. Now you can go through from beginning to end, knowing that you don't have any big structural issues. There are no red light issues in this manuscript anymore. There are no yellow light issues. You don't have to think about those or worry about those. You can go through and do the thing that most people do at the beginning of their revision process, which is polishing the prose and making everything sing and working on the line by line writing. You've already done the heavy lifting. If you're excited about using the blueprint in your revision and you want to work through it with a community of other writers who are doing it too, we'd love to have you join our upcoming Blueprint Challenge. You're going to go through the blueprint step by step along people who are revising their books or people who are starting from scratch. It's the same 14 questions, and people will be working on fiction, they'll be working on memoir, and they'll be working on nonfiction. KJ is going to be leading the charge of this blueprint, and she's going to be doing some write-alongs and AMAs and different things to support people while you work through those blueprint questions. And I'm going to be in there a few times as well. This is the fourth time we've done the Blueprint Challenge at the hashtag I'm Writing podcast, and it gets better and better every time as more and more people do it. And you can find critique partners in there to help you with your blueprint questions, maybe to look at your as-is outline, because they understand the process, they understand what's going on, they understand what this is all about. And it's just a really fun and powerful way to approach either a new book or the revision of a book that you want to work on. You can check the show notes for details on how to sign up for the Blueprint Challenge. This challenge works if you have a new idea that you want to work through or a new-ish idea. You can be a little bit into it and the blueprint process is still really effective. And it also, of course, works really well if you're revising something or maybe you're stuck revising something or overwhelmed by the revision process that you're in. You can start at the beginning of the blueprint process and go through what I've just described here and at the end of the challenge, be in a really great place to move forward with your project. We'd love to have you join us. So again, check the show notes for details. We give everyone who joins the Blueprint Challenge a downloadable copy of the Blueprint book and a workbook to work through. But if you're not able to do the challenge at this time and you want to go through this process your own self, you can just grab a copy of my Blueprint book at any bookstore and work through those 14 questions and your outline at the end. However you do it, we're excited to support you on your way. So until next time, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Thank you.